This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And 1-2. He struck him out, and Texas comes back to win it. They beat the Red Sox in 11 innings tonight. 4-3, the final score as they take game one here at Fenway Park.
I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I don't know what to tell you about your baseball team anymore. I don't know what to tell you about them. 67 games in, the Red Sox are 34-33. I gave you some of the numbers last night. The Red Sox, in their history, have only made the playoffs twice with the record that they have right now. In other words, and actually this goes back to yesterday, 34-32 going into last night. Only twice in their history have they had that record and made the playoffs. One was in 1967, which was the great turnarounds of all time. The other one was in 1988, which was Morgan Magic. And by the way, both of those years, they didn't win it, ultimately. There was no wild card back in 67. In 88, they got into the divisional playoff against the Oakland A's, or actually what is the American League Championship Series, right? I mean, it was only East and West back then. They got killed. They got killed by the A's. They had no chance. Now the 67 team's a different animal. But the 88 team, I would go so far as to tell you, was astonishingly average. They had one great little stretch in the middle of the season, but honestly, I don't know what to tell you about your team anymore. Because it just feels like a mediocre club that isn't really interested in getting out of its rut, and all they're doing is spinning their tires. 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phones right away. We will also get to the David Ortiz story, including a statement by his wife, Tiffany Ortiz. Some other details that are being reported out of the Dominican Republic, and the terrifying story of David Ortiz, including, by the way, some reaction from Pedro Martinez last night on television that I thought was, to me, it was why we love Pedro. Okay, it was why we love Pedro, or why I love Pedro. 617-779-0985. We'll start with the game as we did last night. They're up 2-1 going into the eighth inning. 2-1, Brandon Workman, and then Chris Sale. And I tweeted it after the seventh. What are the chances that the Red Sox could get six outs and protect that lead? I tweeted it out at the time because we all know that that bullpen is a minefield. And it's hard to get through there and get those outs. So what happens? Matt Barnes goes out to the ninth with a lead. This is after Sale, by the way, had given up a run in the middle of the game. So Workman got through the eighth without much of a problem or without giving up a run. Barnes comes in the ninth, gets the first out, and then single, double, single, wild pitch, intentional walk. They change pitchers. And you're down 3-2. The Red Sox tie it in the bottom of the inning and then ultimately lose the game. So the mistakes that this team continues to make at critical times really is maddening. Potentially the winning run, Brock Holt thrown out of the plate in the bottom of the ninth. Alex Cora keeps saying that he believes in the team and that they just have to play better. Jimmy, did we have Cora from last night just on the overall plight of the team or the state of the team? And if not, it's okay. Just tell me where we don't. So no worries. But Cora on the play in the ninth in which Holt got thrown out at the plate. Okay, and again, this was a ball in short right field that should have been caught. The Red Sox ended up getting life out of it. Holt was held up at third. He was held up. He ran through it. Here's Cora.
You see the ball, and you know, Andy was hanging in with him. You know, that's a late stop. I don't know if Brock saw Andy, but you know, he made the decision, and he was out of the plate.
Okay, so Cora's really sort of succinct there. Well, he made the decision. He was out of the plate. Doesn't want to throw his player under the bus. But again, base running mistake. Over the weekend, they couldn't throw strikes. They couldn't turn a double play at the plate against Blake Snell. Second and third, nobody out. They can't put the ball in play. Three guys in a row strikeout. What are they good at? What are they good at? And so, look, I know a lot of you don't believe this. Okay? I shouldn't say a lot. Some of you don't believe this. I think the others of you know who I am. You understand how I feel about the team overall and what I believe the standard that they should be held to. But I look at them and I just don't see much of a pulse. I don't see it. I don't see a team that wants to get out of it. And you know what? I think Alex Cora feels the same way. So I'll tell you what, let's go to your calls. We talk about this team, the dilemma that they face. Part of me wonders if they'd be better off sucking in the next 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden they could trade off a couple of parts at the deadline and maybe get some young players into that farm system, which is barren. Rick Porcello, love him. I love his makeup. But if the Red Sox aren't going to be in it this year, then you should trade him. And Mookie Betts is another discussion again. We'll get to him. It's a busy week because of the Ortiz thing and the fact that they keep losing these games. But I just don't know how many times can you show up and watch, expect them to turn it around and get back in it and start playing like they're capable of? I'll take 2016 and 2017 right now. Give me that team. That was a first place team. I'll take that. They didn't win in the postseason, but they were a good team during the regular season. This team, oh man. I mean, they're hard to watch right now. They really are. They are hard to watch. Chris is in a car. Go ahead, Chris.
Tony, thanks for taking the call. Quick question. At this point, seeing as how it's mathematically slipping away at a rapid pace, kind of to what you just made note of, you know, what can they do now to potentially have a decent team down the road? And on that, thank you for taking the call again, and have a nice night, and I'll take the answer off air.
Well, so, yeah, Chris, I'm not sure there's a lot they can do. I think they just have to play better. And if they're not in it, and that they're far enough out, maybe you trade some pieces off at the deadline and get yourself some help for the longer term. I don't think they're going to do that. Because you know what's going to keep them in it? I'll tell you what will keep them in it. We all know what will keep them in it. The league sucks, and they have a lot of talent. So, and the wild card. The second wild card will keep them in it. I doubt the Red Sox are going to sell. Part of me is starting to wonder whether that is the better option at this point. Keith is in Lowell. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, Maz, I was just wondering what happened with the whole Kimbrel situation. I mean, given the struggles of the bullpen, especially late in the game, I mean, we threw all this money at Eovaldi. You know, you even bring back Kiers for like $6 or $7 million or something like that. I mean, why did we not lock up Kimbrel and, you know, have him down the ninth? I mean, I know it wasn't always pretty, but, you know, he got the job done at the end of the day. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that. I'll hang up and let you talk.
Okay, so Keith, I'm not a Kimbrel guy. I didn't want Kimbrel back. But I did want them to address the bullpen, and they didn't. So, Pierce signing, I thought, was relatively short money. At the end of the day, they did nothing for that bullpen. And so, if you ask me right now, let's say they add at July 31, the thing they need the most still is bullpen help. And the bullpen bit them in the ass last night, and that's what's happening of late. If you take out the blown saves, they're pretty much right there, or close enough. I could say the same thing. If they won the games that Chris Sale pitched, they'd be right there. Instead, they're 4-10. So it just feels like last year, where everything went right, most everything is going wrong for them this year. But I think a lot of that is about their state of mind, their frame of mind, how they're approaching the season. I just don't think winning is as important to them as it was a year ago. Mike's in Connecticut. Go, Mike.
Yep. Hey, Matt. So I agree with all the stuff you just said. I feel like their state of mind right now is they want that wild card. And my second point is, so I called in a few, like 2 or 3 months ago about Joe Kelly. He has a 7-5-1 against Tyler Thornburg's 7-7-1. That's just a silly lining for me, and I just like to let you know that's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Look, Joe Kelly has sucked. And again, I didn't advocate for them bringing Joe Kelly back. The number was too big. I didn't want Joe Kelly back. What I did think the Red Sox could do was go out and get themselves a lefty. I thought they could have used a lefty reliever. At the end of the day, the bottom line is this. They don't have enough arms in that bullpen. Okay, that's clear. But honestly, this goes beyond the bullpen. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. What was it last night? 1-for-8? They went into New York. They went 2-for-13. In one of the games in New York, they had one at-bat with a runner in scoring position. One. In their last 6 losses, we did this last night on NBC Sports, 6-for-49 with runners in scoring position. 6 for 49. They got two runs in the first inning last night. They didn't score again until the bottom of the ninth when they have to or had to. And they blew the lead in the top of the ninth. It just, the team lacks something. Killer instinct, whatever it is. And again, the only way I can say it, winning is not as important to them as it was a year ago. Jake's in Brockton. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to say, I was sitting behind the dugout yesterday, and I almost heard, I could have sworn that I heard like Chris Sale punching a wall in the dugout as soon as Bynes blew that save. It's almost comical, just like the lack of run support that this guy has not gotten over the last few starts. And also, just last before I go, I'm still cringing at Bogaerts dropping that ball at second. Thanks.
Yes. So, Jake, look, I the Bogaerts play. Jimmy, was there a play where Bogaerts dropped the ball at second base last night? I missed that. Okay, I missed that.
I missed it too.
So, I'll see if I can find it. Bottom line, again, we talk about all the things they've done or haven't done. What have they done well? What have they done well? Consistently well? And the answer, nothing. And you know what happens when you, or you know what you are, when you can play well for short bursts, but you don't play consistently? You're average. That's what most people are. We have good days at work and bad days at work, and we plod along, and most of us are average. It's the consistency of the production that makes you great or good or pretty good or whatever. Anybody can have the one good day. So look, I admit I'm frustrated. I said this earlier in the day. I start to look at the whole 4-year sample with this group of players, and now I'm talking about Bogaerts and Betts, and I know I'm sort of all over the map tonight, but this is kind of where I am with this team. I'm really having a hard time figuring them out. So when I look at the whole 4-year sample, I say, it's been good. But they really only had one great year in there. And so not that should take away from the championship or anything of the like. I'm not saying it should. But when I look at the full body of work, last year everything went right. They were awesome, and I feel like they hit their ceiling. In fact, they went beyond it, and they deserve credit for that. But this would be now 3 out of 4 years where they didn't really quite get there. And it's, again, I'm talking about the same collection of players. And I just, I can't help but wonder about them. And believe me, I want them to turn this thing around, and they're going to be in it till the end because the league sucks. And again, the second wild card's in play. But typically you don't get to game 67 going 34-33 and contend for a World Series. It's not usually how it happens. Jim, Mario will give you headlines later on. When we come back, though, we'll introduce or get you updated on the David Ortiz story. Because as we go on, I think we all know that the news is not going to be what we want. That somehow, in some way, Ortiz is going to be tarnished in this thing. And Pedro Martinez last night talked about the story with a reaction that I would call, if nothing else, truly 100% authentic. We'll play it for you and talk about it when we come back.
Discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters at 85.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't have enough words to describe who David is, what David means to baseball. But I'm so disappointed to know that someone like David, who saved so many lives, can have someone after his life. And I'm sorry, I get. I'm sorry, but it hurts me. It hurts me. A guy that saves lives, and I'm sorry.
Baseball. Pedro Martinez last night. Jimmy, was that on TBS or on the baseball?
I thought it was on
MLB Network. Yeah, MLB Network.
But it's the same thing. I mean, well, details.
It's the same crew, but it was MLB Network. And so, look, this is one of the reasons I loved Pedro when he played here. Okay, I think the world of him as a guy, as I do of Ortiz, which is not to say that anybody's perfect because they're not. But in the case of Pedro, Pedro spoke from the heart. And I think that what you heard there about Ortiz, and look, you've heard a lot of this stuff. Pedro went on and said a lot of things about Ortiz in that cut. There's a much longer version where he talks about how Ortiz, you know, came from nothing, turned into something, was sort of a role model for people in the Dominican, especially for young boys. Baseball there is in the water. It's part of the culture. It's a huge thing. All of which, again, we sort of know and have known over the course of his career. But part of the reason I like that cut is because what you hear from Pedro there, and he says, it hurts me, is the national pride he feels for his country and the idea that someone in his own country would turn on one of their heroes. Like, Pedro's hurt by that, and I'm telling you, that's genuine. He's an unbelievably proud guy when it comes to his country. Okay, as are most Dominicans, I would say. Very, very proud people with regard to their country. And so I think you can hear that in Pedro's voice. So, Murray, I think I said this to you. I may have said this to you yesterday. If I said to you, what is the top export of the Dominican Republic? What would you say?
Baseball.
Okay, so I Googled it. The top exports of the Dominican Republic, gold, rolled tobacco, low voltage protection equipment, knit T-shirts, medical instruments, blah, 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 blah. Bananas, liquor, cocoa beans, silver, sauces, seasonings. Okay?
All that stuff can be boxed and shipped, but the reality is the greatest export from the Dominican Republic is their baseball players.
Exactly right. Baseball players, that's what their chief export is. Baseball players, I looked it up today. 10 million people in the Dominican Republic. 10. Okay? Very small number. There were 375 million in this country. 10 million in the Dominican Republic. So that's 1/38 of what we have.
I'll take your word on that. Don't make me do math.
Okay, you know what percentage of players in the major leagues are from the Dominican?
48.
29%.
Oh, okay.
30%. One out of every three players in the big leagues is from half of an island in the Caribbean. Half.
Again, that's crazy.
I said this to you guys last night. The other half is Haiti. Okay, so the Dominican's not even a full island.
Right.
And the only reason I'm telling you all this is to give you some idea of what baseball and baseball players mean there. Okay, just the sheer math. There are only 10 million people in the Dominican, and yet they produce 30% of the players in the major leagues. To understand what baseball and what David Ortiz means to that culture, you need to know those numbers. Okay, you need to know. Now, there was an update today on David Ortiz. His wife, Tiffany, issued a statement this morning. His spokesman, Leo Lopez, indicated that Ortiz underwent a second surgery at 1 a.m. Monday night / Tuesday morning, which would have been early this morning. Leo Lopez said the surgery was quote-unquote exploratory in nature. Tiffany Ortiz thanked the Red Sox and said that Ortiz is going to remain in intensive care here for at least a couple of more days. He's not out of the woods, and this is the part you don't want to hear. There was a second report out of the Dominican in a publication there called the Diario Libre. Diario Libre. Okay? That's my Italian, not my Spanish. Which I think means the free press. And based on what I've been able to read, and I put it through the Google Translator, first of all, the paper is respected. It's the second biggest or one of the biggest publications in the Dominican. And secondly, the report indicates that David Ortiz was warned to stay away from the wife of a notorious character down there and that the hit was related to that. Now, again, I'm not telling you that it's true or not true. I'm just telling you what was reported. And this is reasonably consistent with what was in the Daily Mail yesterday. So these are the things that are going to pop up and unravel in conjunction to this story. And it's the stuff that nobody wants to hear. And it doesn't justify someone walking into a bar and shooting a man in the back. So I think on that we all agree. Murray, you got some?
Yeah, well, there's a few other things. I popped by the other studio and one of the news stations was on, and apparently the first shooter that they got is being arraigned currently in Santo Domingo. And then Michelle McPhee, the well-known investigative journalist, she tweeted like 15 minutes ago, a second arrest made by the NYPD in the David Ortiz shooting, sources say. So and there's nothing further than that. She hasn't retweeted anything or tweeted since, but made by NYPD. So did the guy leave the island? He was in New York, gets arrested there.
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, based on what you were just talking about, that, you know, how it's being reported in, what was the name of the paper again?
Diario Libre.
Diario Libre. If you're on Twitter, put into the search bar Ortiz side chick, and you can go down quite a rabbit hole there.
I mean, so look, again, it hard to know exactly. We're going to find out when this thing as it goes. But the guy arrested in New York, I would not rule out for a second him going somewhere and getting right on a plane and going to New York.
Okay.
Huge Dominican population in New York, too, by the way. Tyler's in Quincy. Tyler, go.
Hi, yes. I just had a quick question. If the Red Sox were to get swept by the Rangers, would you say the season's virtually over? And if not, when do you pull the plug on the season?
So, Tyler, look, I am always reluctant to say it's over. There's just so many games left that anything could happen, right? But the bottom line is you can only go on what we've seen so far. 67 games, they're 34 and 33. And what have they done consistently well? What have they done consistently well? This is my question to you as a Red Sox fan and follower. When you watch them play, what are you confident in? Who are you confident in? And there's another element, too, with this team, by the way, that should start to concern you, which I'll get to in a minute. John's in Lawrence. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Maz. How's it going?
Good.
So, about the bullpen, I was listening on the radio last night, and Dave O'Brien had this stat that, I don't know, just, like, blew me away. I think he said...
Get to it, yeah.
Yeah, it was something like the run differential in the ninth inning was like 40 to 32, and it was the second worst in the league. And I think that really pretty succinctly encapsulates what you've been saying about bullpen plus the offense just aren't making it work.
Okay, so look, 40 to 32 in the ninth inning, honestly, is better than I would have guessed. So earlier in the year, I looked it up. The Red Sox had among the most losses, bullpen losses or blown saves in the American League, which is never a good sign. And I feel like it's only gotten worse. So we'll see if we can get you an updated number on that. But the bottom line is that the bullpen's now an issue. So they had a rough start at the beginning of the year. They started to play better, and now their bullpen's biting them in the ass. And at the end of the day, whose fault is that? Dombrowski, for sure. He ignored it. But I wouldn't leave Alex Cora out of there either, and I'll explain to you why when we come back. Murray's good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes.
You again?
Colton Brewer.
Who?
Ryan Brazier.
Brazier.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019. An all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game. Now, let's spin the wheel.
Barnes. Brazier.
Brewer.
Thornburg.
Johnson.
Thornburg.
Brazier.
Barnes.
Hembry.
Brazier.
Thornburg.
Velasquez.
Hembry.
Johnson.
And today's Gutless Bum is
Santana third, Andrus at second, getting their leads. And a line drive base hit left center field. That'll bring in Santana. Here comes Andrus. He is in to score. And Matt Barnes gives up three consecutive hits with one out in the ninth inning to put Texas in front 3-2. Ryan Brazier on the hill. Santana rounds. He's on his way. Jackie Bradley firing home. Won't get him. And Texas has the lead again, 4-3. Elvis Andrus with his second hit tonight.
Again, from the ninth inning last night, Matt Barnes was the disaster this time. He's your quote-unquote closer, I guess, if that's what you want to call him. Breakdown in the ninth. Red Sox up 2-1 against the Texas Rangers. They can't close out the Rangers. The Rangers, whom they're battling with for a wild card spot, for crying out loud. And so this gets to the bigger picture with the bullpen. I want to give you some numbers here in a minute. And the question obviously being, how much of a factor in the Red Sox demise or state is the bullpen. Because we all know the bullpen of the first 19 games of the year was actually pretty good. They went 6-13. But now the bullpen's a problem. So how much of a problem is the bullpen? How much of the blame do you put on the bullpen? Steve's in Billerica. Go ahead, Steve.
It's a big, Tony, you know I listen to you every day, right? So with the bullpen, I know you don't like Kimbrel. With the bad year last year, yeah. But when you get rid of your closer, no matter if you like him or not, when you get rid of him, you should replace him. Because when you don't, it literally throws off the whole domino effect of the rest of the field there. Now with Kimbrel, say you did have him. How many saves is he going to save? All the blown saves you have this year, say 5 of them, we win. I mean, that's a little bit of a step up. But Robertson, what did Robertson, he left the Yankees, what did he get, like $3 million a year or $3.75 a year from someplace? I mean, even so, there's no reason why we shouldn't replace Kimbrel.
Steve, listen, I'm not going to argue with that one. Again, and by the way, just because I tell you I didn't want Kimbrel, I didn't like Kimbrel, I'm just trying to be consistent. I'm just trying to tell you what I told you before. So I don't want to sit here and all of a sudden change my mind and completely manipulate the facts. But just because I say I didn't like Kimbrel doesn't mean I'm right. That doesn't mean I'm right. You know, and I went into it saying I'm okay with them not going in there with a closer. I'd try Brazier and see how it goes. But however, I never said I wanted them to bring back the same bullpen minus Kimbrel and Kelly without replacing anybody. I never said that. I said from the beginning I wanted them to get a power lefty reliever and add him in that bullpen. Now, that said, Brazier obviously has gone belly up on him, and now Barnes is going belly up. Do you know what Barnes is in his last 9 outings? His ERA is 982. He's walked 7 guys in his last 7 1/3. So now, look, everybody goes in slumps. Overall, Barnes has been good. But the point is that as great a start as he got off to, at the end of the day, Matt Barnes has been in the big leagues for a long time. And so the likelihood is that he's going to end up something close to what he's always been, which is a guy that can't throw strikes, and not consistently, quality strikes, and who really is more suited for a setup role. Hell, I had my doubts last year that he could pitch the 8th inning, let alone the 9th. As it turned out, he was good for them. Cora managed it well. But now, no. And the Red Sox now, 10 blown saves this year. So now, if you were going to argue with me on that, you'd say, well, the Yankees have 10 blown saves too. And look at their record. The Yankees also have 10 more save opportunities, or 9 more. So the point being is, they have blown saves at least in part because they're always ahead closing out games. You're not. So the number really you should focus on in save percentage, that's the big one. You know where the Red Sox rank in the league in save percentage? 12th. 12th out of 15. And the only teams worse than them, Kansas City, which sucks and is one of the worst teams in baseball along with Baltimore. Seattle, which sucks and has now come crashing way back to earth in a big way since that 13-2 start. They're like 13 games under now. Do you guys know that? Since that start, they've played like 25 games under 500 or something close to it. And the Oakland A's, who, like you, are one of the more disappointing teams in the league. So the A's have blown 12 saves. Their save percentage is just under 54. Seattle's is 56. The Red Sox are 58.3. Kansas City's the leader in a runaway. Their save percentage, under 39%. So the Red Sox bullpen is absolutely a problem. And Stephen Billerica, Steve's right. Let's just say that number is, instead of 10 blown saves, let's say it's 6. You have 4 more wins. So your win total goes to 38. Your loss total goes to 29. Now you're 10 games over 500. And all of a sudden the division doesn't seem so far-fetched. I mean, this early in the year, 10 blown saves, those hurt. Those absolutely hurt. Tony's in Kingston. Go ahead, Tony. Oh, Tony hung up, so we'll move right along, and we'll go to Dan in New Hampshire, who has a question concerning Alex Cora and the way he's managed so far.
Yeah, last year it seemed like he could do almost no wrong. This year, with his bullpen being near the bottom when it comes to the ninth inning bullpen, why wouldn't he, like for something like last night, why wouldn't he load the bases and hope for a regular baseball play instead of his bullpen to strike people out? It didn't make any sense.
So I'll tell you what, Dan, it's an interesting question. I'm going to ask Jimmy to do me a favor right here. Jimmy Stewart, our producer. Jimmy, in the Tuesday Hub folder, there should be a cut near the bottom. Cora being asked why he didn't walk Mazzara in the ninth inning when he ended up getting a two-run single. Just let me know if you find it and when you find it. Okay, so here's your answer. Here's what Cora said when he didn't walk the bases loaded.
No, we're not going to walk the bases loaded. You can't put that guy in the corner there because then you cannot expand against Pence. And then you got Cabrera behind. So you have to play the infield in there. You play back. Yeah, they tie the game. You know, you just, where we at bullpen-wise, no. You gotta finish it there. I always said infield in, infield back, it's about defending lanes. You know, is it 10 steps back, you're defending that lane. That's how it works nowadays, you know. You got the defensive shifting or the positioning. It's just a matter of, like, you cutting the angle. So that's what we're trying to do there.
Okay, so he says at the beginning, no, you can't do that because then you can't. Jimmy, if we could play the very beginning again, I think what he indicates is you can't get a guy to chase out of the zone. But go ahead, Jimmy, play it.
No, we're not going to walk the bases loaded. You can't put that guy in the corner there because then you cannot expand against Pence.
Stop. Okay, you can't expand, meaning you can't open up the strike zone and go out of the strike zone and get a guy to chase because then you run the risk of walking in a run. And then at the same time, he says, you know, with where our bullpen is right now, meaning unreliable. Unreliable. Look, all kinds of things you can second guess with Cora late in that game, bringing the infield in. The hit by Mazzara that put the Rangers ahead 3-2. If Xander Bogaerts is at his normal position, he catches that thing in his mouth. He could do, like, you're flipping popcorn to someone and they're catching it in their mouth. Bogaerts could have caught it that way last night. That kind of play? Totally. Totally. But he was in, and so the guy hits a bleeder into left center, and now you're down 3-2. So does that mean Cora made the wrong call? Yes, because it didn't work. I mean, that's how it works, right? We all know that. So last year, and this is one of the things that I can't get around, last year, everything fell into place for them. It was just one of those years. I mean, you don't win 108 without that happening. This year, nothing. No matter what they do, it feels like the wrong move. One night their base running craps out. Next night their bullpen craps out. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. Their starters aren't consistent, or, you know, and I'm going back to the early part of the year. It's always something in the way. And again, I told you earlier, there's something that popped up recently that's starting to bother me about the team. I'll tell you what that is. We'll give you the matchup of the game, and we'll wrap it up with your phone calls, too, when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Today.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got a quick giveaway here for you right now. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. Again, the contest line, not the studio line or not the show line. 617-931-0985. You will get a $100 Bertucci's gift card. And remember, Bertucci's now delivers to your home or office. You can get started at Bertucci's.com. That's Bertucci's Brick Oven Pizza and Pasta, the official pizza of baseball fans. One more time. Caller number 10, you'll get a $100 Bertucci's gift card. It's pretty good. 617-931-0985. While I'm at it, let me just get this out of the way. The Big Y matchup of the game, presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Boy, do we have a unique matchup tonight. Neither pitcher has any history against the other lineup. So we're going blind into this one. But obviously, thanks to our friends at Big Y. And here's what I said before the break. One of the things that concerns me about the Red Sox right now is the injuries. Because I think that this is what happens with teams that underachieve. All of a sudden, guys get to a certain stage and they say, you know what, I'm a little banged up. and I'm going to go on the DL. I'm going to take a little time off. I need a blow. It's been frustrating. I'm tired. It's not working. So Moreland's on the DL. Pierce is on the DL. J.D. Martinez has missed games with back spasms, I think, three different times. And so I want to make this part of it clear. I'm not accusing anyone of quitting or dogging it. What I'm saying is that when you're a good team and it's fun to show up at the ballpark every day, you can't get back on the field fast enough. It's just the way life works. When you're a mediocre or underachieving team and the season gets really long, all of a sudden things that wouldn't bother you quite as much now bother you a little bit more. And the Red Sox feel to me like they're a little demoralized. Again, last night, 2-1, and then your bullpen blows it. Oof, that's a killer. Tony's in Kingston. Tony, go ahead.
How you doing, Tate?
Good.
I want your opinion on the Yankees moving forward for the next 3.5 months. What do you think?
Okay, well, what do you think? Are you a Yankee fan, Tony?
I am, Tate. I am. I'm a transplanted Yankee fan. Okay, one of those.
Yeah, so listen, no worries. I mean, again, I'm not one of these people that hates the Yankees around here like everyone else does. And, to me, that goes back to the 90s, if you care. They were in the playoffs all the time. The Red Sox weren't there for a couple of years. And honestly, the guys on the Yankees at the time were good guys. And I came to realize they were no different than the Red Sox. They just happened to wear pinstripes. That's a different story for another day. Do I like this Yankees team? I said from the beginning of the year I was picking them to win the division. So I think they have that thing this year where they didn't like the way last year ended and they were going to come back like gangbusters. I like the Paxton pickup. They've gotten more out of a couple of guys than they probably should have. LeMahieu was a sneaky good pickup too. No one really dwelled on it at the time. But they're a good team. Can they win the whole thing? Sure. Now they need to get healthy, but yes, I like the team and I like their chances. Matt's in a car on the Red Sox inabilities with runners in scoring position. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Tony, you touched on it before the break, and that's what it was. And maybe, you know, the runners in scoring position, but it almost feels this is like a timely hit. Like, maybe it's just like the big double, you know, guy going from first to home. Is getting the extra run to cushion the bullpen or getting the run to come from behind. This team never dealt with adversity in the sense of last year. They had to claw their way back. They were front runners. They started the year great. They finished the year great. And the comparison is tough for them. And I think it might be playing a role in some of their, their inabilities to deliver when they need to this year. So I put this more on the players than I do Cora. But Cora has had his moments, but ultimately it's up to your stars. Guys like J.D. Martinez have been hurt. Mookie Betts is underachieved in terms of coming off his MVP season. And Andrew Benintendi has been a disappointment out of the leadoff spot. So you can look at a lot of different things, but the stars have to perform.
So, Matt, look to me, ultimately the problem is the players aren't performing at their level. Now, who do you want to blame for that? I mean, to me, throw them all in the mix. Cora didn't have the team ready to go out of spring training. They were way too cavalier with their offseason attitude and with their pitching staff to start the season. Then they started to play better, which was good. But now it just seems to me like they're not really interested in getting out of it. Again, look at how many times they've started series with losses. Over and over and over again. And once it happens so many times, eventually as a player you just say, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. This isn't our year. And because they won last year, I think they're more willing to accept that. So I don't know any other way to look. I hope this thing turns. I don't want to sit here talking about a 79 and 83 team all summer. That sucks. That's like the worst case scenario, if you ask me. I'd rather have them go 60 and 102, for crying out loud. If you're going to suck, go big. Trade pieces, rebuild, get some young talent in the system, all of it. Plotting along in mediocrity and go for that last wild card spot and losing the playing game, that blows. I have no interest in that. None. So can they play out of it? Sure. But at some point, it'd be nice if they could wake up. Like, I think in order for that to happen, they have to wake up. And they actually have to care about winning as much as they did a year ago. I don't know any other way to say it. I'm not telling you they don't care or they want to lose. They need to care as much as they did a year ago. In that sport, that's what it takes. It takes talent and it takes focus. And it's hard because you play every day for 6 months. And if you throw in spring training in the playoffs, it's 8, 8.5. It's a grind. If you're not up for it, you know what? You can go 83 and 79 and we'll see you next spring. Pac-Man, what do you got?
I'm kind of rooting for him to go 83 and 79. But, you know, that's just me. I did...
I do like, though, and I think, Tony, you've been a little harsh on the Red Sox last night. At least it was a bang-bang play with Brock Holt at the plate last night. Like, that was a real coin flip. Like, could have gone either way. Like, just, you know, real unfortunate bang-bang play that went against the Red Sox, and they ultimately fell. So I think you're being a little harsh on them today, quite frankly. We are going to get with, or get to, rather, the NBA Finals, where that series stands and its impact on the Boston Celtics. Chris Forsberg wrote something that I think people are taking as a good thing for the Celtics. Maybe Kyrie and Durant, they're linked to one another. If Durant has to stay in Golden State, maybe that's a good thing in Boston.
It's not.
I would agree with Jimmy. I don't think that's a good thing at all. Kyrie on a short-term deal is scary for the Celtics, and I would be against that. So we'll start with that.
Okay, Jones and Arcan coming up next. Murray has your headlines. Everyone, will see you tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow, Felger and Maz from the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street at FanFest leading up to Game 7. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Right here in Boston, the first Game 7 played in Boston in 35 years. Amazing. Here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.